What was the biggest victory you had over a Power Five where, you know, it was pretty magical like that?
You know, it's interesting. When I coached at Siena, we had a really good team, and we were considered a mid-major program. I think we viewed ourselves a little bit differently, but we beat Ohio State in 2009 in Dayton in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That was probably the highlight one. We had beaten Vanderbilt the year before in the first round of the tournament. But it's really hard to win those games. It's really hard to win, as you everybody knows, at Cameron. That is really one of the more difficult places I've ever coached in. And I've taken a number of teams in there, and I was an assistant at Notre Dame. We would go in there and play. But it is so hard, the intensity level and the energy level that they play with, and you know, typically they have, you know, multiple pros on the team. It's just really hard to win. And the fact that those kids stayed together and kept battling, kept competing right up until the last possession, which was obviously a crazy play, but the bottom line was they had to get a stop, and they got one, and they turned it into a bucket and won the game. So, you know, I think everybody respects what they did, and I have a lot of respect for Coach K and how he handled it. He basically said, hey, they were better than us today. We have to be better. We'll get better. We'll go to work. And that's what college basketball is today. It's parity.
No doubt, Coach. This is Joe. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, Joe. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice. Coach, you know, you have an interesting dynamic this season. You're coaching two of your sons, and you know, your oldest, Connor, is off to a great start. You know, 27 assists, 7 turnovers. He's third in the Big Ten in assist-turnover ratio. And Patrick, one of the top 100 players in the country. Tell us what it's like to coach your sons, and then has your marriage changed since they've been on your team?
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it's a great question, and I get asked it a lot. And what I did, Joe, is I talked with Tubby, I talked with John Beilein, I talked with Greg McDermott, you know, guys that Craig Neal, guys that coach their sons. And the best advice I ever got was from John Beilein. He said, listen, the greatest thing is you get to see your son every day.
Mm-hmm.
And how great is it that I get to see both my boys every day? Now, it is, I'm not going to lie to you, it is somewhat stressful in the sense that, you know, my wife, while she wants us to win, she's like any other mom. She wants her boys to do well, play well, be happy. So the hardest challenge is to just be fair and equitable with the other guys on the team. Who deserves to play? Who should be in there? And never lose sight of the fact that, you know, that's my responsibility. Both of them are really good in terms of attitude and understanding. They have a great relationship with the other guys on the team. They grew up with them in a lot of ways. You know, Connor and Jordan Bohannon were teammates. I mean, they've competed against Cordell Pemsel for years. So it is a very unique dynamic. But at the end of the day, I always remember what John said, and I can tell you it's awesome. I see my boys every day.
That's great. You know, I think that's a tribute, and I'm sure it's been a lot of fun. Coach, the DePaul game was the only game you guys got beat so far this year. And at the press conference, you made the comment that there's a difference between playing hard and a difference between competing. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you meant when you said that?
Yeah, I thought in that game, you know, we got our ears pinned back right off the bat. It was 13-2, and we never really made a run. And what we did was, you know, we tried to rev it up. We tried to play with more intensity level, which we did. But we didn't play smart. You know, we were putting our heads down and driving into packs of people. One pass contested three. You're not coming back against a team the caliber of DePaul playing that way. We have to be smarter than that. We have to be tougher-minded than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to play with great competitive instincts in terms of the physicality. We're going to be physical. We're going to sprint the floor every time. We're going to get over toward the ball. We're going to get back. We're going to close out hard. That's great. But you have to couple that with intelligence and being connected and understanding. What do we have to do against this team? Who's on the floor for them? You know, who are the shooters? Who are the drivers? What plays might work? And if we run a play, can we execute the play properly and grind our way back into this game? And we didn't do that. We fell apart, and that's on everybody. And I said, look, it's one game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coaches, it's the players, it's everything that we did. We'll just We'll break the film down. We'll learn from it. We'll get better, and we'll be better the next game.
You know, when you talk about that leader and having that smarts on the court, your glue guy on your team has been Bohannon. And he's been an incredible player for you through the years. He had hip surgery. Just wondering, you know, how's his health? And, you know, he's your senior leader, and obviously you're going to need him to compete in the conference, which is going to be a good one this year.
Yeah, he's special, Joe. You saw it. You know. Unbelievable clutch gene. He makes shots late. But, you know, I think his shooting is what everybody thinks of when they think of him. And he might very well be one of the best shooters in college basketball. But he's also a terrific passer. He's had over 100 assists three straight years. So he's a multidimensional player. He gives you some toughness defensively. He gives you senior leadership. He's an experienced guy that won't rattle when you get behind. So he's getting closer, Joe. I mean, he'll play tomorrow. He's getting closer to being himself. He's not what he was. He had very serious, as you said, hip surgery. He had a labrum tear. But he looks pretty good. I thought he had a good workout today. We just got back to the hotel from our workout. He looked pretty good.
Great.
That's Fran McCaffrey with us here on Cofield & Company, the coach at Iowa. Iowa's in town to take on Texas Tech. We'll get to the matchup against the Red Raiders here in just a second. What's going on in your big position? You just had a pretty major injury, right?
We did. I feel terrible for Jack Nungy. He's you know, 7-foot sophomore who was starting for us. Really versatile guy. Step out and make threes. So he's out for the season. He'll get surgery later on in this, like right after finals in December. So that's an unfortunate blow, but somebody's got to step up. We've got Ryan Creener, we've got Cordell Pemsel, two guys that are seniors. Cordell's a redshirt junior, but he's in his fourth year. So those guys will step up. They've both been starters at some point. Joe Wieskamp will step up. Connor McCaffrey will step up and play more than one position. He's played primarily point guard. He'll play that, but we'll swing Bakari Evelyn in there, grad transfer. Joe Toussaint will get more minutes. He's a tremendously talented freshman. And Bohannon, as long as he keeps going good, he'll be out there as well, obviously.
Well, this matchup against Texas Tech, their calling card, Chris Beard, has built this thing around defense. Talk about their defense, why it's so good.
Well, number one, it's physical. So they're really together with the game plan. So they're, you know, no middle drives, force everything to the baseline. It gets down there, they trap you. They rotate hard, they close hard. They're hard ball pressure, but they're a team that I think rebounds incredibly well for a team that you would say, okay, they play small. They play four guards and one big. And those teams, they're not going to rebound as well, but they do because they're quick to the ball, they contest everything, and they take your misses and your mistakes, and they push it hard down the floor with that speed. So the critical thing for them, you know, playing them is you can't get sped up. You got to play at your pace, move the ball, share the ball, and you've got to compete physically with them as well. That's how they're going to play.
Yeah, you know, they do play a fast, strong tempo. I mean, I've seen them practice twice this year. I've been out to Lubbock, and they've got an incredible amount of chemistry with that group, and they got a lot of belief. And, Coach, you start a really big lineup. You know, you go 6'11", and 6'6", 6'5", 6'11". You might start two twin towers again. Will that size be an important part for the game where you're going to try to, you know, get them inside and get the ball inside and try to do it? You've been dominating on the glass this season so far, and is that something that's in your plan of attack?
It is. But at the same time, we're preparing to, at times, go small. I think you have to be ready to do both, Joe. I mean, I think you have to. We have the ability to do that, especially with, you know, the guards I just mentioned, Bohannon, Evelyn, and Toussaint. And then we can swing Connor to the front court position at 6'6", 215. But we can stay big. I can put two big post players out there. And fortunately for us, Garza and Creener can both step out and make threes. That's important. Pemsel is a really good ball handler, passer, more of a low post scorer, but a versatile guy who can get out and guard a three. So matchups, I think you're right, will be very critical in this game.
Fran McCaffrey's with us. You know, I wanted to get your take on a big issue that went down last week, and it's been going on for a while. Joe Altomboe was here at UNLV, transferred over to Texas Tech, got his waiver denied. He was one of many guys who got their waivers denied to play it immediately, and you know, Beard wasn't happy about it. Tom Izzo obviously was very angry. Greg Gard really got fired up about it. What's your take on this whole thing? You know, as many of the coaches have pointed out, I mean, it just seems to create this inconsistent, unlevel playing field if some guys are eligible and some guys are not.
Well, I think the point you just made is the one that I think is everybody upset. You know, is it a rule or isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's a rule, let's follow the rule. But why does he get an exception and I don't?
Yeah.
I think anytime you go that route, you know, and I think, you know, having been, I'm on the NCAA Ethics Coalition, so I've been in meetings with the transfer group, and they'll tell you, you know, we go each case individually and we try to be fair, and I have no doubt that they are trying to be fair. But I think it's upsetting when you look over there and he's playing and I can't play. The one thing I will say is I don't know where in our history it became such a negative that you have to stay in college for another year. You get to practice and lift and learn the system and come back. You're not losing any eligibility. Yeah, everybody wants to play right away. Everybody wants to get to the pros quicker. But it's quite an experience that these guys have. And nobody's losing any eligibility over this. They're all going to play. They're all going to get to play at some point. And quite frankly, they'll be better next year than they would have been this year. So I think if somehow we could figure out a way that we're just going to be consistent, and I think the inconsistency is what's got everybody upset.
You know, Coach, there's a lot of people in Vegas that aren't big Chris Beard fans. If you start selling Iowa T-shirts somewhere at one of these hotels, you may fill that arena tomorrow. You know, when you think about he left here after so many days, and then he goes ahead and Joel's not eligible, you may have a large crowd there tomorrow, people you don't even know.
Well, I hope you're right. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a big Hawkeye contingent here. I can tell you that.
Well, you
Our
guys
fans travel well.
You guys do travel well. And talking about traveling during Thanksgiving, Coach, Thanksgiving's tomorrow. What's your go-to food? What's your go-to on Thanksgiving?
Traditional. Stay traditional.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, and that's what I do. You know, we're not. You know, I'm a big Italian food guy. I mean, I can never go wrong with Italian food. But on Thanksgiving, we're going turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes, and that's it. That's what we're having a. At 7 o'clock tonight, we're having a big family Thanksgiving meal right here at Caesars.
Awesome. We're fighting a battle on the show and on the internets with the millennials who are all anti-turkey now and trying to upset the apple cart.
Can't do it.